Hey, it's Greg. Thanks for listening to Toronto Today, catching up with us on Wednesday, August the 10th. So we talked to the president of the Ontario Nurses Association, Catherine Hoy. I wanted to know how she felt about the tone. It's one thing, politicians are going to say what they need to say and, you know, push legislation through that they have backed and they believe in. But what about the tone and the shift, if there is one, from Christine Elliott as health minister to Sylvia Jones as health minister? And I think an important question also, unvaccinated nurses and doctors, what do we do? What do we do? Maybe our opinions have evolved. Maybe yours have always stayed the same. Maybe you felt one way and now you feel another, but maybe you don't. What does she feel about it? We've got nurses and doctors ready to work, don't we? And don't we need them? The international nurses and the waiting and the training, does that only go so far? I want to ask her these questions, and we did that. So here it is.
Nursing shortage. We got it. And I get that it's a global phenomenon. There's a lot of things causing a nursing shortage in a lot of countries. There's three things I thought about last night. I jotted them down. We got an aging population. We know that. Okay. We live longer also. Did you know that the, when I was born, early 70s, average age, average life expectancy in Canada was closer to 71 years of age. Now it's 82. By the way, that's only going to go up. That's technology. That is better living. I know we worry about crises, obesity, people drinking. It doesn't matter for the majority of people. Those are things that can end your life earlier. But we've got better technology, better means of extending life. They figure, the UN figures, by 2050. So we're talking 28 years from now, that life expectancy goes to 86.53. So aging population, we've got an aging workforce, and a limited supply of new nurses, okay? So more people, on average, are senior citizens than used to be, okay? That's great if you're a senior citizen. You get to live longer. You got more to do, more golden years, and on and on. It's rough for the rest of us because we pay for you. You see how that works? And I'm panicked about it when I'm a senior citizen, okay? So these things do matter. I want to play you something yesterday in the micro as opposed to the macro from 2 days ago from Sylvia Jones, the health minister. Here's what she said when questioned as to the current state of healthcare in our hospitals.
It disturbs me, as I'm sure it does many, when they find that their local hospital has to close for 4 hours, a shift, a period of time. But to suggest that it is in crisis is completely inappropriate. That we have what we have in Ontario, what we are seeing internationally, and that is a shortage of healthcare workers.
Yeah, don't care about internationally. I've said that before, and it's very appropriate to start having, as I call them, big boy and big girl conversations about where we need healthcare to go. We have to have them. Catherine Hoy, president of the Ontario Nurses Association. I don't know where you stand, Catherine. Thanks so much for joining me on Sylvia Jones. I can't tell if some of what irritates me is the tone, and I can't tell if some of it's the practicality. We didn't play the clip of her saying, well, we're struggling so much because all these healthcare workers, and I'm paraphrasing, are taking vacations right now. I'm like, A, if your system's collapsing because of vacations, you got a problem with the system. And the second thing is, I just, the tone of that I know it landed the wrong way with a lot of nurses and a lot of doctors too.
Well, thank you, first of all, for inviting me. I appreciate it. And it landed wrong with me. It really did. I found it to be very insulting, degrading, disrespectful. And you are right. If nurses can't take a vacation, then we have a big problem. But you know, in a lot of departments, they only let one or two nurses off on vacation at a time. So even to suggest that this is a vacation problem, it's very obvious to me that she does not know her portfolio. And healthcare is such an important portfolio. It leads me to believe what is ahead of us.
Is the tone already, these are early days for her portfolio. I'm going to ask this. Is the tone already concerning to a level that you didn't have with Christine Elliott? You're going to disagree on policy, but you've got practicality of somebody who just knew the system. And there's a tone and a temerity that has to exist in professional negotiations. How do you view the difference in tone between the two women?
The tone, I will admit, was terrible. And with Christine Elliott, I met with her several times. She was very respectful. She did ask appropriate questions and wanted to have a conversation. I've yet to have a conversation with the minister. It is next week, finally. But you would think if you are a new minister and you're in a crisis, that your first thing would be to address healthcare, not to be out across the province doing visits. Healthcare is the most important issue right now facing the people of Ontario.
Because this is what healthcare workers are telling me, and I'm sure, hell, you're a lot more dialed in than I am. They're saying to me, we're not sure this person recognizes the crisis, and that's as concerning as if you're pretending it doesn't exist is concerning. Not knowing it exists is more concerning in a way.
Well, I have to agree with you. I don't think she truly understands the seriousness of the crisis. And to think that closing a emerge department for 4 hours isn't concerning is unbelievable. Just think that if there was a trauma and your local emerge was closed for that 4 hour period and you have to be offloaded somewhere else. Mm-hmm. You know, there's no ambulances out on the streets. We saw that last weekend in the Durham Region area because they were all in emerges waiting to offload patients. Can you imagine? So you don't have an ambulance in your area because they've gone somewhere else. You've had a trauma. You have no emerge room open. What do? You have to put your loved one in a vehicle and Google the next nearest hospital that might be opened. Like, this is getting ridiculous.
Yeah, that's part's ridiculous. Catherine Hoyes joining us, president of the Ontario Nurses Association. If they scrap Bill 124 today, I know that's wishful thinking. If they scrap Bill 124 today, does that change much? I hear nurses that are taking jobs at the Costco, Boston Pizza. It isn't all about money. Money matters. Money makes, I've said it before in teaching, wonderful salary. You know, our teachers work hard. Our men and women work hard. They get summers off, get a pension, get a good salary. They wouldn't teach for $22 an hour. They wouldn't teach for $25 an hour. It's not just about money, is it?
No, it's about, the bill really speaks about respect and the fact that they appear to have dug their heels in and they will not repeal it. Repealing will open up our last two collective agreements to negotiate. But what repealing Bill 124 is actually, you know, kind of like that light at the end of the tunnel. Okay, the government is going to listen to us and now we're going to work ahead. It's the same with, if you remember back, the government gave all the PSWs a $3 an hour
right.
wage increase, but they didn't do that for the RPNs or the RNs or any of the other healthcare professionals. And so really what that did was it really closed that wage gap between all those different sectors. So for the RPN, some of them were making 50 cents more an hour or on par. And for RNs, you know, after 4 years of university, there was that $3 wage gap that had closed in. So that needs to be rectified too. There's a lot of things, respect and, you know, and it's a male, we're a female dominated profession and we're all about equity and inclusion. And yet they're taking female dominated professions out of, you know.
Yeah. Yeah.
It's just, they're attacking them. It's ridiculous. We've seen construction in what the last 6 months get a $3 an hour increase over 3 years. So $9 over 3 years. It's disrespectful, but it will be that light at the end of the tunnel. But there still will be a fight going on because we have to get people back. The international nurses are just a piece of it.
Yeah,
because that's not going to succeed if you don't have nurses to support them.
I only got a minute left, and know you hear from these people, and I want to have a longer macro conversation about this. I hope later in the month with you, but I'm out of time. I got a minute left. The mandates. I'm sure you hear from doctors and nurses who didn't get vaccinated or only got vaccinated once. What do we do here? Can we? Dr. Isaac Bulger said even in January, we've got to have honest conversations about whether we bring these people back. I'll tell you, Catherine, if I go to an emergency room, I've got my three shots. I've got my mask if I want to wear it. I don't care who's treating me. I don't care how many shots they have. I think a lot of the public feels this way. What do we do? We got a different world than we had a year ago at this time. I think we can concur on that with the vaccines and with the virus. What do we do?
Well, the employers impose these penalties, and the employers need to have these conversations and make an informed and educated decision, which they don't appear to be doing that. I'm frustrated with the Niagara healthcare system that kept all these nurses without the vaccines through the thick and thin of it all. And then, you know, when they turned around and fired them all or terminated them all. That is just wrong. If you have a policy, stand behind it. Don't use it to serve yourself and then treat other people wrong.
Do you hope they'll bring them back now, like deep into 2022?
Yes. If science supports it, and yes, we do need nurses, and for hospitals, because we're talking about hospitals, they will need to create a policy, and people will adhere to it. Nurses are respectful, but that's between the employers and, you know, the government need to sit down and get this figured out.
I hear you. Yeah, I know that's not your call. I'm glad you weighed in on it for our listeners. Thank you so much for the time. I hope we can have another chat before the end of the month. Really appreciate it.
Sure. Thank you very much.
Catherine Hoy is president of the Ontario Nurses Association.
Hi, it's Shauna, and I might be a bad parent because my kids think french fries are vegetables.
Hey, it's Ryan, and I might be a bad parent because I went out for wings when my wife was in the hospital after giving birth.
Johnny here. I might be a bad parent because in my house, the tooth fairy gives pocket change.
But we're not alone. Len emailed us and said his six-year-old daughter's Tarzan moment going from love seat to lazy boy by curtains made him more proud than any dance recital.
And Andy left his two-year-old at the rink.
All right, guys, I'm sure we're not alone. Like Andy's kid.
For stories and confessions like this, make sure you check out our podcast.
It's called Bad Parents, and it's available wherever you get your podcasts.
I left a glove at the rink.